Rabbi said, we're mamish holding by the end of the 12th parak. We're all the way by the end of the 12th parak. And we're speaking here about a person learning Torah and feeling like he also wants to have shaychus to godless b'Torah. He also would love to be able to, you know, be so influential that yeshiva shal maili, yeshiva shal mat, everyone's going through what they're doing. And we all have these dreams, these aspirations, these hopes, but why are we just happy with that? Why don't we start working hard? Let's start working hard. But so I want to tell you a story. It's an unbelievable story. It's an amazing story. It's a story about Reuven Benges. Reuven Benges was famous for being a brilliant person. But he was much more than just a brilliant person. He was a very hard-working person. There's a pretty famous story about Reuven Benges. It's not the one I'm going to tell you, but that's the introduction to the one I'm going to tell you. The famous story about Reuven Benges was that he made a Siyum HaShas. Regularly. I don't know if it was every year or so. Made a Siyum HaShas regularly. I have a sefer, which if you want to see the story inside. The other story I heard myself, but this one is a famous story. And then a few months later, he made another Siyum HaShas. And the family was like shocked because they knew it's every couple of, you know, it's every year or so he makes Siyum HaShas. Make another Siyum HaShas? And he was particularly happy, and he, you know, some people said he wanted fleishik. It was like, you know, usually it was a few rugelach and, you know, some bronfin, a little bit of a chaim or something. That was, now I wanted, like, this is going to be a big siyum. It's like, what's going on? His family asked him. He said, this siyum I made in 5 minutes. This siyum HaShas I made in 5 minutes. I said, what do you mean? He said, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes. This is my 5 minute siyum because people invite me to be Masada Kedushin, and sometimes you have to wait around. So what do you do when you're waiting around? Some people socialize. So you know, sometimes they invite me for Sandikois, they invite me to a bris, they invite me to a Kiddush, they invite me to... So when those times when I'm waiting around, I had a special Seder during those times, and I just finished Shas. This is my 5 minute Shas. Before Reuven Benges passed away, he told his family, I just finished Shas for the 101 time. 101 times he finished Shas. Listen to this story. This story I heard by the Levaya of someone by the name of Ravitzik. Ravitzik was a Rav in Baltimore. And I said this story by the Levaya because Ravitzik was an ainikel of Rav Benges. He was a grandson of Rav Benges. And he's the one who was involved in the story afterwards. He heard the story from Shlomo Zalman. Why are they telling it by Ravitzik's Levaya? Because Ravitzik was so like interested in the details of the story that after he heard it first time, he flew to Eretz Yisrael to hear it again from Shlomo Zalman just to make sure that he got the story right. The thing is, Levaya, Ravitzik was like flew to Eretz Yisrael just to hear the story straight from Shlomo Zalman. This was the story. Shlomo Zalman Orbach was a young Rebbe in a yeshiva called Kol Torah. And the young, the up-and-comings, had a chabur with Rav Benges. Rav Benges was living here in Eretz Yisrael. And the young up-and-comings had a chabur with Rav Benges to come to Rav Benges' house. And they were shmuz and learning. So there they are. It's the young up-and-comings. And Rav Benges is considerably older than Shlomo Zalman. And he says to Shlomo Zalman, "No, what did you say in shir today?" So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "I said over the ktsois that speaks about the sugya of whatever it was, the das baldin." He says, "So Rav Benges says, sunishdoa za ktsois. There's no such ktsois. It doesn't exist." So Rav Shlomo Zalman, he was like a little uncomfortable. It's like the ktsois. Simin Mem Zayin, the one that speaks about the Dos Baldin, is this Sinishdoa Zaktsois. It doesn't exist. So, and he's just like looking at him. Like, well, it's the k'tzais. So he says, bring me a k'tzais. Bring me the k'tzais. So he brings the Rebbengis the k'tzais. And Reb Shlomo Zalman, not trying to be gaivadik, opens up the sefer and is like, here it is. This is the k'tzais I was telling you about. So Rebbengis says, come here. And he reads the k'tzais. And he reads the, and he explains to Reb Shlomo Zalman how he didn't read the right pshat in the k'tzais. You read the k'tzais wrong. This story of Bengis heard from Reb Shlomo Zalman. So Bengis, so Reb Shlomo Zalman is like, is in the spell. Here he is, he's mamish holding in the sugya. Right? We might have, maybe some of us can maybe remember, oh, there's a k'tzais about this or that. But to remember exactly every, how to read the k'tzais and everything, it's like Bengis was mamish, like as if he just saw the k'tzais yesterday. Reb Shlomo Zalman is learning the sugya, and he just mamish said the k'tzais this morning. So Bengis says to him, you think it's because I'm an Eloi? He says, this is what happens when you learn the k'tzais 200 times. I learned this k'tzais 200 times. So Reb Shlomo Zalman told the story to Reb Itzik. And he told Reb Itzik, I want you to know something. If he said he learned it 200 times, he didn't learn it 199 times. 200 times means he learned it 200 times. He sat on this k'tzais and saw it again and again and again. That's how you become a Gadol B'Yisrael. It doesn't happen because you're gifted, because you're born, because you have a higher IQ. It comes from tremendous, tremendous amount of work. Tremendous amount of work. There's a story that I heard from Rameir Stern that there was a bacher who his father brought him to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said, I asked that the Roshiva should give him a bracha because his Rebbe said that if he keeps the way he's going, he's going to be the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe should give him a bracha. And Rav Meir said that Rav Moshe got very serious. Rav Moshe was a very relaxed person. Rav Moshe got very serious. He says, Nishta zeh pashut. Nishta zeh pashut. Don't tell your kid, just because he's born like a prodigy, that he's going to become Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein worked day and night tirelessly for decades to become who he became. It's not like a little kid in third grade is like all of a sudden he's the next. It doesn't work that way. It's not what it is. It's a tremendous amount of amelus and work and struggle and a person has to really put. That's what it takes. So if we want to say, "Wow, I wish I could be Rav Moshe Feinstein," I don't know if you ever opened a Dibras Moshe in your life. But you saw the goyness of Rav Moshe, the way he's shoylit in like everything, kolot arakula, right? You say like, wow, I wish I could be this. Well, it doesn't happen. It's something we have to take our lives in our hands and make it happen. It takes a tremendous amount of work. Here we're up to V'chein Hu Be'inyan Sifrei HaMefarshim. We're on page Kuf Ches in the new printing. In the old printing, we're on page Kuf Chaf Ches. V'chein hu le'inyin sifrei ha'meforshim. If a person wants to approach sifrei ha'meforshim, it takes tremendous yegia. Im b'pshat ha'toyra, if the meforshim are telling us pshat in the pasuk, or b'chassidus, or whether it's chassidus and musar, kishtatabon la'ayin v'lilmoid b'sefer. Listen to this unbelievable pshat, he says. When a person comes and he's coming to sit down, you're sitting down with a sefer chovas talmidim, Rabbi Yisai. Here we are. We're learning chassidus and musar together. So what's the approach? Chashoyv shemalach Hashem hoishit es roishoy min hashamayim ubeshem Hashem edaber elechas advar meila. You have to think beforehand that there's a malach, there's an angel who just stuck his head out from Shamayim, and in Hashem's name he's going to speak to you these words. So as we're sitting here learning the Heiliger Piasetzna's Torah, the Chovis Talmidim, what we should be thinking before we sit down is the Piasetzna Rebbe is here with us. The Rebbe is Doh, Rabbi Yisrael. The Rebbe is Doh. The Rebbe is in the room. He's teaching us this Torah. These are his words. You know what it says when a person speaks over Torah from a tzaddik? Sifsoisov Doivarois Bekever, which means his lips are moving. So while we're reading these words, the Piasetzna's lips are moving. His lips are moving. Why are his lips moving? Because he's teaching it to us. We're learning from the Piasetzna directly. Kima hoya hatzadik bimoraim terem sholcho Hashem lo'ilam hazeh veifuata. Where was the tzaddik before he came to this world? Where was the Heilige Piasetzna? He was there by Hashem. And where is he now? He's back there by Hashem. He's a malach. He's a malach. The pasuk says, "Ki sifse koyin yishmer udas, v'tori yavakish mifil ki malach Hashem tzavokos hu." The koyin, the person that teaches you Torah, is malach Hashem. So we have a malach teaching us Torah right now. But you have to understand that when you open the sefer, you have to realize that, appreciate that we're learning from directly from him. Umalach sholach Hashem lo'ilam hazeh likroya sakriya. Hashem sent us a malach to this world in order to call out. There's a calling. Uladaber has called Dvarav and to speak all of his words. Asher sholach Hashem. Hashem sent us a malach with an instruction and a mission, and his mission was to teach us this Torah. Ukechalois uladaber es Dvarav. And when he finishes speaking his words, shavalo darko shamayim. He went back. He went back up. So the malach has finished his job. The Piasetzna finished his tafkid. He went back to Shemayim. Ubeim lo yisametz ruchacha v'lo sases oznacha ke'afar keses v'shmoy b'chol koichacha v'ledaik b'chol oisam v'deberes alecha min Hashemayim. What would be Rabbi Yisrael? What would be? Could you imagine for a moment if the Piasetzna came back to life and there was like a sign up, the Piasetzna is speaking? Piasetzna Rebbe, do you know what? Could you imagine? There's not a coliseum big enough in this world for the amount of people that would want to go hear the Piasetzna speak. Imagine you have someone from Shemayim who's coming to talk to you. Sure, you'd be glued. Everyone would be dying to hear. That's what happens when you sit down here with the Sefer. He's coming from Shemayim to talk to us. We can't understand his Torah unless he teaches it to us. And if a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is sending us a shliach min HaShemayim, so of course we're going to listen. We're going to be medayik. We're going to be careful. B'chol ois, with every single word. Hamedaber selecha min HaShemayim, it's being spoken to us from Shemayim. Ve'im lo yitachpoitz liyois talmud ha-mechaber. Don't you want to be a talmud of the whoever? If it's the Rajba, yeah, I'm very stuck on the Piasetzna Rebbe. I'm Amish. I'm from his biggest Hasidim. But every person has, whether it's Bsham Shem Rafal Hirsch, whether it's the Pnei Yeshua, whether it's whoever it is, you have an opportunity to become his Talmud. Malach min HaShemayim zeh uzeh. Choose your Malach. Re'eina b'Gemara. Listen to what it says in the Gemara. Kol ha'koyveya mokom le'tvilosei. Elokei Avram be'ezroi. Any person that's koveya mokom, he has a consistent place to daven. He davens in the same place every single tefillah. Koveya mokom le'tvilosei means same minyan, same seat. And a person has that consistently. Elokei Avram be'ezroi. K'shemeis omer malav mitalmidu shel Avram Avinu. A person does that. So Avram Avinu is pulling strings for you in Shemayim. It's that simple. Koveya Makom means I learned from Avram Avinu something. Because where did we get the idea of Kriyas Makom from? Where did it come from? It came from Avram Avinu. Avinu went back to the same place he davened before. We're going to have a place where we daven. So that makes us tell me that Avram's pulling strings for us. And when a person dies, they say, this is Talmid Shel Avram Avinu. Who says that? They say that at the Levaya? It doesn't mean that. It means when a person is going into Shemayim, and his neshama is coming to Shemayim, you know what they say? Make room for a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Let's make room for a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Va'al Hillel HaZaken Amru, Talmidu Shel Ezra. Hillel HaZaken was called a Talmud of Ezra Sefer. Af Shahaya Eza Meois Shana Achrav. He was hundreds of years after Ezra. How is Hillel a Talmud of Ezra? The answer is clear. He became a Talmud through his teachings, through his Torah. He learned from him. And when we sit down and we learn a Gemara, we become Talmidim of Rava, a Talmidim of Abaya. And that's the way that we can connect to those people. Mepnei shekol ha-shomei es divrei tzadik, Hakoidem loy v'hoylech bedrochov talmidoy hu. He's his talmid. Umi hu asher lo yishtoikek liyos talmid harishonim. Who doesn't want to be a talmid of the Rashba? Who doesn't want to be a talmid of the Ritva? V'acharoinim talmid bal shem tov. The Magid Agadol, the Magid Mikoshnitz for Talmideim, Zichroinim Tzadikim Levracha. We could become their Talmidim. Now, I want to tell you something, Rabbi Yisrael. To me, I think that this is very much a very important, it's a key for Atzlocha in learning. It's this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, in the end of the Parsha, I'm going to tell you something fascinating. It's from the Drosha Saran. This week's parasha. In the end of the parasha, Miriam and Aaron tell Lashon Hara about Avram, about Moshe Rabbeinu. Haloi ach be Moshe dibra Hashem el gam banu. Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you're Navi, what's a Navi? What's the difference? And she was wrong. Obviously, Miriam heard Madrega, and she sacrificed a life for Avram Avinu. She put a life for Moshe. She put a life on the line. Miriam, you know, we're not making Miriam out to be, you know, such a shlechta. Miriam was Miriam and Aviyah, but the Maisa, she said something critical of Moshe Rabbeinu. That she was wrong. She was wrong. Kosh Baruch Hu said, you speak about Avdi Moshe, you speak of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a process of how this whole thing unfolded. Let me explain to you the way that the Drosha Zoran explains it. It's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. He says what happened was as follows. There was a fundamental difference between the Nevuah of Moshe and all other Nevi'im. And the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Av HaNevi'im, he's different. It's a different league. There's something called Aspakleria HaMe'ira. There's something called Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Groinai. Aspakleria HaMe'ira means that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see with a clear vision. There was nothing like, there was no screen in between. Now, sometimes you see things, it looks a little blurry. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it was crystal clear. Which means that it wasn't like the Shechina was talking to him. It was talking from inside of him. And that was different from all other Nevi'im. So explains the Drosha Saran the following thing. No one else can have the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because no one else reached the purity of Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, your guf gets in the way. We speak about that there's Aspakler She'ena Me'ira. What makes the vision shady or murky is because we have a guf. Because we have taivas and that gets in the way. Moshe Rabbeinu was like clean, totally. He was able to have the Shekhinah speak from inside of him. No one else can do that. Not even Aaron, not even Miriam. Only Moshe. And says the Drosha Saran that if anyone else would try to do that, it would be like a poltergeist. It would be that you're having, like you feel like your body is being possessed. You feel like you're being taken over. It's excruciatingly painful. Because you're not ready. You feel like you're being ripped apart. Only Moshe can do it. So what Hashem did was Hashem did the following thing. Look in the psukim. He said, "Come, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe, come with me to the Ohel Moed right now." They were all called to the Ohel Moed, and all of a sudden, Hashem starts speaking to Aaron and Miriam. So why is Moshe there? What did Moshe come for? To bring to Aaron and Miriam? Says the Drosha Saran. Because Baruch Hu brought Nevuah down through Moshe, Aspakleria Meira, and he transferred it over to Miriam and Aaron. And he said, "This is what Moshe's Nevuah looks like." And they were in excruciating pain. They couldn't deal. And when it came off, she was left with tzaras. Her body couldn't stand it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He said, "Now you see Moshe is different?" That's the way the story unfolds. But the Drosha Saran picks up on one particular detail. Hashem didn't just give her this Nevuah on her own. She brought it through Moshe. It brought it through Moshe. He transferred it over to Miriam and Aaron. Says the Drosha Saran, if you are connected in any way with a tzaddik, if you're in the close proximity of a tzaddik, if you're a talmid of a tzaddik, if you have some connection with a tzaddik, the tzaddik's hashpa can now be transferred over to you. Because Miriam and Aaron could never have gotten this Nevuah, only because they were there with Moshe. Says the Drosha Saran, you know something? When a person has a Rebbe, his Rebbe can give him hasagas in Torah, hasagas dargus in Ruchnias, that he can't get on his own. Because he's with his Rebbe, he can get it. And he explains something amazing. Do you know that there's this thing of having like the mate of Moshe? Moshe had a mate. And he gave the mate to Yeshua. What's the point of Yeshua having the mate of Moshe? I may think, well, the mate has intrinsic spirituality. No. Because when Yeshua was holding that mate, he was connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. He had Moshe Rabbeinu with him. I have one of my Rebbeim has Rav Moshe Feinstein's his hat. He has Rav Moshe Feinstein's the hat that he used to wear. When he has that hat, he has Rav Moshe Feinstein with him. Rav Moshe's here. Something that's connecting me with a tzaddik, that's keeping me connected to a tzaddik. You're connected to a tzaddik, your tzaddik can bring you places you can't go yourself. So when you sit down and you read a Rajba, you're like, okay, I'm going to try to figure out the Rajba. You could try to do it on your own, you're not going to get very far. But if a person says, I want to try, the Rajba is going to teach me Torah. I'm going to sit down now with the Rajba together and he's going to teach me Pshat. The Rajba can get you places you can't get by yourself. You'll never get there. So we have an opportunity to become a Talmud of the Rajba. We have to look at it that way. We have to make ourselves worthy of being that. And that has to be our understanding. This is what we can possibly do now when we're sitting and learning. I can't get it myself. I have to daven that the Rajba should teach it to me. The Ritva, the Pnei Yeshua, Reb Kiva Eiger. That's what a person should do. And that's the way a person has to approach learning. We have an opportunity to touch something from previous generations. If you feel you're tired, sometimes people get tired during their learning. You learned a long time straight, Ritzifus. Oh, misiba cheres, or for whatever other reason you're tired. And because of that, you don't learn. You're not learning with all of your strength and with your entire head. So there are etzes. It's yadua that Rav Nochem Pritzovitz had an etzah. Rav Nochem, when he was feeling tired, he would grab his shtender and slam it down on the floor. That's the way Rav Nochem dealt with being tired. If you ever saw screws coming out of shtenders, that was Rav Nochem's style. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, a friend of mine, told me that his father once went into a Chaim Shmulevitz and he had his socks rolled up. I mean, his pants rolled up. He wasn't wearing any socks. He had his feet in cold water. That's the way Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to learn to keep himself awake. I punch my chavrusas. Everyone's got his own way to... You have to, like, let out some energy or, like, get your adrenaline going. But there are ways of dealing with it, with a person trying to overcome his tiredness. But sometimes you've got to give in. And a person's got to be wise. Toiv yoiser shetafsik milimutcha v'tanuach reva shah. It's better you should stop learning and take a small break for like a quarter of an hour. O yoiser ma'at ki lama l'cha l'ramis esatzuncha. What are you fooling yourself for? L'sheves etzel gemar v'loimet haloi loimet. And sit there and you say you're learning and, you know, your things are just like hazy and it's going in, going out. You're not really understanding. B'shash she'en limutcha shav emuma. What's it worth? Mutav shetisbatel hareva ochatzisha. It's better that you should be mavatel 15 minutes and make the rest of the Seder good. With an exception. With a condition. With a condition, my friends. V'ya'asrucha kil yoisecha. Ya'asrucha kil yoisecha means that you have to be critical of yourself moving forward. Leimor, haloi batalti min hatoira. I just was mevatel zman from my Seder, from Torah. Eschazek me'ata, now I'm going to have to work extra hard. Ve'efshir be'emes, yischazek koichocha min menuchascha, zu v'tischadesh me'ata labad v'amik b'Torah. And maybe because of that, you're going to drive yourself, you're going to motivate yourself, because you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel that because of the fact that you took time off, that you're going to make sure that the Seder now is going to be twice as good as it would have been otherwise, and you end up with more. So what he's saying is, if a person wants to take time out from his Seder, it's only if it has a cheshbon. If it's only if a person says, okay, I'm going to come back, I'm going to be double as good, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to make this the rest of the Seder better than any other Seder I've ever had before. Because then a person's being responsible. The right thing is, when you're learning, a person should do something different about his body. You should be in a different place. Kigoin, shinu makom. For example, sit in a different place. A person should have a place where he sits. That's his learning place. If you can, not learn in your house. If you can't, to learn in yeshiva. It's best to always learn in yeshiva. Let's say a person has to learn in his house. So, those of you that are familiar with Rabbi Stark's house, or the Mashgiach Shlita has a little room, which is his learning room. It's only for learning. There's nothing else goes on in that room. That's what the Rebbe is talking about here. Have a place in your house if you need. If you can leave your house, if you don't learn in your house, better not to learn in your house. Those of us that are lucky enough to walk, to live in walking distance of yeshiva, you come here, you know, whenever you have to learn, you plop yourself down to the Beis Medrash, and Beis Medrash is a zone for Torah. Vim ein lecha mokom acher lilmoid, oy, shebemokom ahu nimtzam anoshim betelim, asher yivatlucha. But if you have nowhere else to learn, let's say you feel like if you're going to be in a place, let's say in shul or in Beis Medrash, where people are going to be mevatel you, al kolponim beveischa yekavua lecha cheder miyuchad. Your house, you should at least have a special room. Al kolponim mokom miyuchad lilmoid. Or even if you don't have your own room, you can't do that, you should have a seat. You should have a corner. This is just my learning corner. I only come here when I'm learning. It gets you in a zone. It gets you in a focus. V'dvarim b'gloy. And there's depth to this. Ki chutz mizeh sha'amokam atam miyachad l'toyra miskadesh u'misugol yoysel l'toyra. One thing is, there's a concept that where a person learns, it creates a spirituality and a kedusha. It creates a kedusha. I want to tell you a story, which some of you that have been around for longer maybe heard. I heard the story from the Bala Maisa, the person that it happened with. I was when I was a bacher in Eretz Yisrael, my great uncle came to visit me, and he saw someone. We were sitting together. He said, "Oh, there Yid is a Talmud from Rebbe Chanan. There Yid is a Talmud from Rebbe Chanan. Come, tell us something from your Rebbe. Tell us something from Rebbe Chanan Wasserman." So he said, "I'm going to tell you what happened when Rebbe Chanan came to visit America. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman lived in Baranovich. He came to America. To me, it's one of the most heroic things I ever heard about. Rebbe Chanan left during the war, went back to Europe, and everyone begged him, stay in America. And he said, my Talmidim are there, I have to go with them so they die al Kiddush Hashem. He went back to make sure that his Talmidim didn't die with questions, didn't die, you know, that they were able to have the right outlook. He knew he was going to die, and there's a picture of Rebbe Chanan on the boat staring at America. As the boat's moving away, he knew he was going to his death. It was like certain. But he said, I have to be with my Talmidim. He's in America before this happens. He's walking with some of his Talmidim there. One of this Yid who told me this story. They're walking down the street together. And Rabbi Chanan says, let's cross the street. It's nishgut over here. Something's not. It's not a good place. It's not a good place. So they cross the street, and as they're crossing the street, the boys see on the other side of the street, there's something over there on the other side which is not a place where Ben Torah would necessarily want to find himself. On the other side. Where Rebbe Chanan said, we have to cross the street, right? So they said to him, Rebbe, how'd you know? He said, are you kidding me? He said, if the Chofetz Chaim was here, he would be able to tell you exactly which Averis were done in this place. The Chofetz Chaim had such a sensitivity towards Kedusha that if there's an Avera done in a place, it leaves, there's like a vestige of the Tumah that happens. The Chofetz Chaim was able to differentiate. I knew there was Tumah here. I didn't know exactly what it was. So we got to go across the street. The Chofetz Chaim would know exactly which Avera has happened over here. Because when an Avera happens in a place, it creates an Avira, it creates an atmosphere. The Tumah stays there. And when a person creates an environment of Kedusha. So the Kedusha has an impact on you. Do you know there's a mitzvah to sit in a shul? Do you know there's a mitzvah? Just sit there. Ashrei Yoishvei Beisecha. Just sitting in a shul. What's the mitzvah of sitting in a shul? What's the mitzvah? You know, a person's not supposed to go into a shul unless he does a mitzvah. So most people say you say something to learn. If you don't have something to learn, just sit down. You did a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is you find yourself in a shul, you're in spirituality. You're there in a makom of kedusha. That's a mitzvah. And if a person sits in a place where there's tumah, it doesn't make a difference if he's going for ice cream, he's going for because his friends want him to be there, he's going because he just needs the shortcut. You walk into a place where there's tumah, it will affect you because it's there, it's present. So the Rebbe says you want to learn. Make for yourself a place where there's kedusha. Make for yourself a corner of your house that all that happens there is Torah, Avodah, that's it. It's miskadesh yoiser the makom, because it's a makom of mitzvahs. Umesugol yoiser la Torah. Ho asiya be'atzma v'shinu itase ata be'poyol be'gufcha la Torah pa'elis l'shanas gamis machshu v'isecha v'chol rayon asecha. U'lahafsik kol psilehem asher chibru oisam ad ata le'inyoni ha'olam. Chutz mizeh, aside for that, it just, a person has a certain mindset. There's certain times when we have distractions. There's certain times when a person is in the right mind frame. If a person has a place which to him is a place where he knows what I do over here is learn. Therefore, it creates for him a better like focus. Someone once asked me a question. So there's a bacher who's learning very well in Eretz Yisrael. And it comes ben hazmanim. If he goes back to America or to Chutz Laretz, he's not likely to learn very much. He's going to have some very serious nisyonos. But he'll go back to America. Or should he stay in Eretz Yisrael? And maybe he'll be a little bit more shamor, but he might get a little bit more burnt out because he stayed in Eretz Yisrael and didn't do much. Shver Shaila. It's a Shver Shaila. Which one should he do? Should he stay in Eretz Yisrael? He'll be a little bit more protected, but he might get burnt out. Go to America and he has more of a risk of maybe, you know, being in the Sionis. So let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you what the answer is, but let me tell you one of the factors. There are people that Eretz Yisrael is synonymous with steiging. They come to Eretz Yisrael, they don't go to restaurants, they don't go to, they come to Eretz Yisrael for one thing, they don't watch movies, they're learning. Bein Hazmanim comes and all of a sudden, Eretz Yisrael is like, okay, it's also a party place, you know, not maybe not as much as they, you know, would do in America, but it's creating a certain, like, it's you're losing your zone. A person has to have a zone. When I come here, this is what I do, I learn. A person has to have a place in this house. When I get into this corner, you're just, your mindset changes. You get into a different, a person gets into a different mindset. And if a person has that place, so then he can focus. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when people play these games, like video games, so as you're playing the game, your mind gets extremely focused. When I was younger, it was around a few lifetimes ago. So there was a game called Snake. I don't know if you guys know what Snake is or not, but you don't have the Snake we had. Snake we had, that was Chashif. It was just dots on a screen. That was the whole thing. You have like snakes with graphics, and it's not the same. Because by us, you mamish felt like a spitz loser if you were good at Snake, because it means you might had zero life. But Snake is a game that starts out slow. Slow, the snake is slowly eating the something or other, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and as it keeps going, it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And then the snake is getting and it's faster and it's bigger and it's faster and it's faster and it's faster. Now, if a person is really good at Snake, so he could get to this really long snake and he's got to, like, you know, snake his way around the board. If you pause the game, you pause it, and you come back an hour later and you start it, you'll be out in a few seconds. You can't do it. It's too fast. It's frenzied. But when you create a focus and you're in it. And then you're so in it that you can create this focus that you can't create otherwise. You can't just jump into focus. A person has to create an environment or a situation where he can do that. And it's the same thing with Torah. You can't just jump in and out and in. Create for yourself a place where you know this is the place where I'm focused. No distractions. There's nothing else that's going to get more. And here I am. I'm ready to learn. If a person can't do that, so then he's not going to be able to have that focus. And a person creates this place. And to disconnect all of the different strings that are attaching us to this world. And disconnect from it. And just like the body, when a person wakes up the body, it's awake. You have a body that's sleeping, and now it's awake. You could have a neshama that was sleeping, and now it's awake. You could, your neshama can wake up. And once it wakes up, it now can function differently. Either it's sleeping, or it's too distracted. Loimer la'atzman die. And it can say to itself, I've had enough. Die. Nischazek me'ato la'avodas ha'Torah. Let me be machazek myself from now in avodas ha'Torah. Let me really try to apply myself for real. Let me get the distractions out of my life. Let me get all of the things that are keeping me from creating a zone, creating for myself some sort of momentum, some sort of consistency, some sort of streak in my avodas Hashem. Let me get it out of my life, because my neshama is awake, and I realize it's going to be hard, but I know I can do it. That's what happens when a person creates for himself that environment. Beis Hashem, B'li Neder, we're going to continue. This is the last parak. We're up to the last parak of Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. Hopefully we'll be able to finish it.